The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today as we end another week. I am always upbeat on a Friday because the weekend beckons, and I trust you are the same. Many of you are driving home. Your week is in your rearview mirror. And so let's try to laugh today at the absurdity of the left. We will introduce you at 5:33 today to a candidate for Steve Stiver's seat in the U.S. Congress, vacated when Mr. Stiver took the job as the president of the Ohio Chamber of Commerce. We'll talk at 5:33 p.m. to Omar Tarazi. Omar is a Hilliard attorney, and I'm very eager to get to know him better and to introduce him to you. You know that the city of Columbus has hired a new chief of police. Her name is Elaine Bryant. She is from Detroit. And you may have known that Elaine Bryant, it appeared, got to bring a person with her from Detroit who is going to serve as a deputy chief of Columbus Police. That person's name is LaShawna Potts. What we did not know until today is that, according to reporting from ABC6, and kudos to those of you over at the ABC affiliate, the civil service procedures for hiring a person who makes $200,000 as a deputy chief of police does not look like they were followed. So it will be interesting to see if our very loud, very demanding, quote-unquote, faith coalition in Columbus has any issues, which they certainly would have had issues had former Chief Thomas Quinlan or anyone else tried to run this same gambit. Now, I have no doubt what happened here is that Elaine Bryant, when she was interviewed, like many of you who are corporate executives, you said, well, if I come in and I'm going to try to remake the culture, I need somebody who can assist me, who I have confidence in, somebody who I knows has my back, somebody that I know I can trust. And I'm sure that Mayor Ginther, Ned Pettis, and others said, sure, you can do that. And the problem is there are very orderly procedures in place for that kind of hiring to take place, and it appears they did not take place in this case. So that does not help the long game for Elaine Bryant as chief of police, because this will damage her credibility with the rank and file. It just will. Deputy Chief Ken Kubler, according to the ABC 6 website, wrote an email to several commanders saying that he no longer supports or encourages them to apply for the job, calling it a sham process. And it certainly seems to be a sham process, in that the offer was extended to LaShawna Potts on the day that the job was posted on the interoffice communique. So what's the point in applying for a job that's already been offered to somebody on the day that it's been posted for you to become aware of it? So I said all the way along that Elaine Bryant's job as Columbus's new chief of police was going to be difficult because, as loud and as demanding as all the community activists can be and will be, and decidedly are going to stay being, she's going to have to win over the people under her command. I get it. You can fire people. You can change personnel. But ultimately, people are going to lose patience if things don't start to improve in their neighborhoods. And a demoralized police force is not a police force that's going to be able to calm things down in neighborhoods of Columbus where crime is rampant, where homicides are up, and all of that. Now, a cure for those kinds of things can be prayer. And I find it interesting today that the Dispatch chose to cover a rally at the Ohio State House. Dispatch is the newspaper of record in this town. When something happens that involves a lot of people in a public place like the Ohio State House, reasonable that the Dispatch would make it a major story. When it involves 20 people, I'm scratching my head why this is a major deal. But then I read about it, and I read the things said by our loud and loquacious, quote-unquote, faith leaders, and it doesn't surprise me at all that they're not even leaning. They've already fallen irrevocably into the leftist hole of illogic. Columbus Dispatch would be there to extol all the nonsense being said downtown at the State House today. They have a big neon banner, pray for police transformation. You say, wow, Bruce, you don't seem like a guy who'd be against that. No, I'm not against it. I'm just laughing at the craziness that is voiced by some of these people who purport to be faith leaders in our community. Maybe it's because they serve a much smaller God than I do. One of them, the Reverend Jack Sullivan, who is the executive director of the Ohio Council of Churches, in decrying the death of black citizens in Columbus, Mr. Sullivan, Pastor Sullivan, Reverend Sullivan, said, "None of these precious souls' lives were revoked by God." He calls them officer-imposed homicides. Interesting. I remember when Barack Obama talked about a shooter at a U.S. Army military base who killed multiple people. He didn't refer to that as a hate crime. He didn't refer to that as a mass shooting. He referred to that as a man-caused disaster. So you see, the death of Micaiah Bryant, who was wielding a knife at another young black person, now one way for false teachers like the Reverend Jack Sullivan to make political hay off of that is for him to call it an officer-imposed homicide. That's really reprehensible. Really reprehensible. So I decided to look up the Reverend Sullivan and the Ohio Council of Churches, and I found Mr. Sullivan's LinkedIn page, and it lists his specialties. Now, he's a reverend, so I'm looking for one particular thing at the top of his resume. It's not what's listed first, or second, or third, or anywhere. Nope, sorry. It's not ecumenical relationship building, not justice advocacy, certainly not anti-racism, government board training, governing board training, conflict management, group facilitation, preaching, public speaking, close, teaching, administration, coaching, leader development, organizational visioning, whatever that is, public relations, leading worship, vocal music. No spreading the gospel. Not on his list of agenda items. I know a lot of people in this town have reverend, pastor, bishop, father slapped in front of their name. If they're not preaching an authentic gospel, and if they have time in their day to go down and demand things on public grounds and say that officer-imposed homicides are the direct result of the sin of racism, as crafted, perfected, and preserved in these United States, run kicking and screaming from his church or any church he appears in. The Reverend Alan Harris, regional pastor and president, Christian Church in Ohio, Disciples of Christ. "We lament the culture of violence that saturates our world." Sure, I do too. "We grieve a culture of violence." Yeah, but are we going to talk about things that might lead to that get really close to home? Like homes without fathers? Like faithfulness in marriage? Drug abuse? Are we going to talk about any of that? No. Instead, We are going to, as the Reverend Eric Brown of Woodland Christian Church said, you're going to lay it all on state legislators. I grow weary of lawmakers, Reverend Brown said, who call themselves Christians but who won't pass bills into law to help those who are underserved. I need more context on that to be able to verify or analyze whether that is a legitimate complaint or just one that has an inherent bias to it. It is 5:20 on the Bruce Hooley Show. Glad to have you along. 5:33, we'll be joined in studio by Omar Tarazi. Omar is running for the 15th Congressional District seat vacated by Steve Stivers. It's a crowded primary. We've introduced you to Jeff LaRae, who's been endorsed by Stivers, and we've introduced you to Ruth Edmonds. And today, Omar Tarazi, Hilliard City Councilman, a guy who's doing a lot of good work in Hilliard, stonewalling, firewalling against critical race theory. And I'm looking forward to getting to know Omar better and introducing him to you today at 5:33 p.m. Don't forget to order your MyPillow. Father's Day will be here before you know it. You don't want to be caught. Oh, necktie. Slippers are okay if they're MyPillow slippers. But you got to order now so they're here on time. And Dad will put those on and he'll be like, wow, these are so comfortable. I want to wear them outside. And that, fortunately, is how Mike Lindell designed them. So that you can wear them outside with that pillowy soft comfort that you get, that I get at least. You can get it too if you order a Queen Premium MyPillow for $29.98. That's a much better price than I paid. You'll get two pillows and have money left over at $29.98 compared to my full price, $69.98. But I'm not complaining because I love my MyPillow and you will too. Giza Dream Bed Sheets, MyPillow Mattress Topper, a dog bed, towels, maybe a robe. Hey, Mike Lindell makes it easy for you to take care of Dad on Father's Day, and I make it easy too with my promo code BRUCE, 800-856-9340, 800-856-9340, and use that promo code BRUCE. Your Columbus Blue Jackets have a new coach, but he's not new to the players. His name is Brad Larson. Brad Larson has been an assistant coach with the Columbus Blue Jackets for quite some time under John Tortorella. Who did not have his contract renewed because he pretty much had served his purpose. So we'll see if Brad Larson can take the team a notch higher. Will not be easy because it's pretty clear now. Your Columbus Blue Jackets are a place where if you get a great player, he's not going to stay here long. Don't fall in love with a Columbus Blue Jacket. You can fall in like, but Seth Jones will be the next great Blue Jacket to bid a fond farewell when the big money beckons in unrestricted free agency. And then Zach Werenski will follow him out of town. You'll be stuck with mid-level talent, aging talent, and the occasional all-around good guy like Nick Foligno. So young talent, too, when you got them cheap and they're not free agents, but that's Brad Larson's lot in life. It's not a bad lot in life, but hopefully he will win and things will go well. Now, I mentioned in the open that the Dispatch decided today to make a big deal about 20 people who showed up, and at least three of them were fake, phony, false teaching pastors at a prayer rally downtown at the State House. I explained to you guys many, many times that the loudest voices are often coming from the statistically smallest group of people. You are not outnumbered in believing that America is a country where good values and rooting for your fellow man, no matter what their color, no matter what their religion, no matter what their ethnicity, is the norm. You are not outnumbered in believing that this is a great country because anyone can make it here. But you are out-shouted because the left chooses to throw around, the left preys on the goodness of the right. It just does. On the left, they don't care what you call them, because whatever you call them, first of all, you're probably not inclined to call them anything because you're not unkind, you're not an exaggerator, you're not a liar, you're not shrill. And so you don't even want to engage in that kind of battle. But on the left, oh, they're more than happy to call you a homophobe or an Islamophobe or a racist or any other thing they can come up with. And so the Dispatch, which is all in with the left, decides to make a big hairy deal. And a lot of big organizations make this same mistake. You know, I'm all about when I'm wrong making apologies for my error. But I'm not apologizing for everything that offends somebody. And this is the mistake that the city of Powell made. And let me just show you what I mean by how much traction one loud nut job and the can be, how loud they can be, and the kind of results that they can get. Okay? So at the Powell Memorial Day Parade, we can't have a band, of course, because COVID. So every vehicle in the Powell Memorial Day Parade can play whatever music it wants to play. And one vehicle in the parade, and we know not who, because if we dared identify who it was, oh my goodness, they'd be hit with the racist label. A car decided to play an instrumental version of the song Dixie. Now, I get the history of Dixie, okay? I get that it's associated with the South in the Civil War. And because it's associated with the South in the Civil War, even though its lyrics say nothing extolling slavery or indentured servitude or anything, it is deemed a racist song, which is dumb in and of itself. So the one loud, woke nut job, an Ohio State professor from Bexley, drives all the way to Powell for a Memorial Day parade and raises a stink about some car, not a city car, but a car playing Dixie in the parade. So she and her husband leave, and they warn a black family on their way into the parade, oh, don't go in there, they're playing Dixie. The city of Powell issues a formal apology, which then continues the craziness to the point where the Dispatch, which is all about grinding and sharpening an axe against anything that could be even remotely associated with its radical agenda, the Dispatch decides to do a big, huge blowout story on the song Dixie. And it turns out, wouldn't you know, that racist song was written by a person from Knox County. Oh my goodness, the home of Mount Vernon. Daniel Decatur Emmert was born more than 200 years ago in Mount Vernon, and he's buried there. And they even used to have a festival named after him. And I made a joke today to my coworker, Alan Rogers. I said, you know, Alan, they didn't take this as far as they could have at the Dispatch. If they dug into the history of Knox County, they'd probably find another reason to indict Knox County as racist. So we looked it up. Knox County is named for Henry Knox, an officer in, not the Civil War. Wow, that's a break. The American Revolutionary War. Oh, so he was one of the nasty people who fought for a country that took all of its land away from Native Americans. Yes, he was. So, Alan Miller and all you other lefties down at the Dispatch, you missed an opportunity here. You devoted, a 3-page printout to the 4-page printout to the horrible, terrible, awful, very bad composer from Knox County of the racist song Dixie. Which, by the way, the North played as well, and Abraham Lincoln played. So, whatever. But the wokeness never ends unless we stop it. And next, we will talk to a man who is dedicated to doing just that as your Congressional 15 representative, Omar Tarazi.